All right. I'm sure you're all, this is going to be an austerity for everybody because you got a lot of road noise. But we're going to start chanting. We're going to chant the prayers of the Lord Nishingadev for the devotees in Ukraine and Russia. And then we'll try our best to have a class in spite of all the road noise. Namaste, Narasimhaya, Pallad, Allad, Vataya, Vunte, Hiranyakashi, Purvakshaha, Shiatam Kanakalaye, Itona Singha, Aratona Singho, Yato, Yato, Yamitato Nasingha, Vahyena Singho, Ridayena Singho, Nasingamadim, Shadanam Prabhajoy, Tavakara Kamal, Labarena Kahom, Adbhuta Singham, Dalita, Hiranyakashipu, Tanu Bringam, Kesavatrita, Narahari Rupa, Jaya Jagati, Shahate. Jaya Jagati Sagode, Jaya Jagati Sagode, Jaya Nasringadev, Jaya Nasringadev, Jaya Nasringadev, Jaya Nasringadev, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Haribo, 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 Haribo. Jai Om Vishnupad, Paramahansa, Paravadakacharya, also tell us that she, Shivad, His Divine Grace of Ayachadana, the Bhaktivedanta Goswami, Srila Prabhupada Kijai, ISKCON Founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada Kijai, Ananda Goti, Vaishnava Vrinda Kijai, Namacharya, Srila Haridas Thakur Kijai, Prince Goho Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Srila Gadadha, Sri Vasudhi Gaur, Bhakta Vrinda Kijai, Sri Sri Radhakrishna Gopikopanath, Shyam Kun Radhakunda, Giri Govardhan Kijai, Vrindavanam Kijai, Maturidam Kijai, Jagannatha Swami Kijai, Yamunamai Kijai, Srimati Lassi Devi Kijai, Samavita Bhakta Vrindi Kijai, Go Premananda Hari Hari Go. All glory is the assembled devotees, all glory is the assembled devotees, all glory is the assembled devotees, all glory is to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Srila Prabhupada Kijai, Nama Om Padaya, Krishna Prasadaya Bhutale, Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Namani Namaste, Saraswati Devi, Gauravani Pacharani, Nivashesha Shunyavadi Pashyatati Shatarani. So, just some announcements about Ukraine and Russia. We ask all the devotees again to pray for the welfare of all the Vaishnavas and everybody there. And you can read ISKCON News if you want more information about the situation there. And now we're going to continue with our reading of the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. We're reading from chapter 24 of the Majjhalila, beginning with text 301. Tomorrow we're going to be celebrating or commemorating the disappearance day of Gurkishore Das Babaji. Gurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj. So it's actually a very important day in the Vaishnava calendar. Same time we're going to be doing this, hopefully not from a car. So, let's share the screen. Somagana Timidandasha Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshur and Miditan Yena Tuzmai Shikarve Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So, again, Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dwaita Chandra, Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda, Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dwaita Chandra, Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda, Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dwaita Chandra, Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Okay. So, text 301, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Majalila 24. Admaramascha samuchaye kahiye chakara munyascha bhakti kare e artha tara. After uttering the word Atmaramaha 58 times and taking cha in a sense of aggregation, one may add the word Muniha. That will mean that great sages also render devotional service to Lord Krishna. In this way, there are 59 meanings. And 302, Nigrantha eva hanahapi nirdharane A unashasti prakara artha karilun vyakhyane. Then, taking the word nigrantha and considering a p in the sense of sustenance, I've tried to explain the 59th meaning of the verse. Remember, we're going to go up to 61 meanings of this verse. Sarva samuchaye hara eka Arthahaya Atmaramascha Muniyascha Nigranthascha Oshaya. Taking all the words together, there is another meaning. Whether one is an Atmarama, great sage, or Nigrantha, everyone must engage in the service of the Lord. So Prabhupada said the word Sarva Samuchaya is significant here. It includes all classes of men. Atmaramas, Munis and Nigranthas. Everyone must engage in the service of the Lord, taking the word api in the sense of ascertainment. They are altogether 60 different meanings. Wow, just one more meaning. It is actually Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj's disappearance tomorrow. So, api shabda. Avadharane seha chari vara chari shabda sangye vera karibe uchata. The word api is then used in the sense of ascertainment, and then the word eva can be uttered four times with four words. Urukrame eva bhaktim eva hai. The Rukrama, Bhakti, Ahaitaki, and Kurvanti are added to the word Eva again and again. Sankhyaka Artha Ara Eka Artha Shuna Pramane Samartha. Now I have given 60 different meanings of the verse, and yet there is another meaning which is also very strongly evident. Atma shabde kahi shitragya jiva lakshana brahmadi kita parhyanta tanra shakti te ganana. The word atma also refers to the living entity who knows about his body. That is another symptom. From Lord Brahma down to the insignificant ant, everyone is counted as the marginal potency of the Lord. Vishnu Shakti Para Prokta Shetragya Kyatara Para Avidya Karma Sanganya Tritir Shakti Ishate. The potency of Lord Vishnu is summarized in three categories, namely the spiritual potency, the living entities, and ignorance. The spiritual potency is full of knowledge. The living entities, although belonging to the spiritual potency, are subject to bewilderment And the third energy, which is full of ignorance, is always visible in fruitive activities. Of course, this is a famous verse which describes the potencies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vishnu Shakti, that means the Shaktis of Vishnu, of the Supreme Lord. Para Prakriti, so that means the spiritual potency. Para Prakriti. And then after Para Prakriti, we have Kshetra Gyakya, which means those who are knowers of the Kshetra, of the body. And that's us. That's the Jiva souls. That's the second potency. Tata Para means we are also transcendental. But there's one potency of the Lord that's not transcendental. It's called Avidyakarma Sangyanyat. I mean, Sangyanyat is known as ignorant activities. And these are the three basic potencies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Okay, next verse. Kshetragya Atma Purusha Pradhanam Prakriti Striyam. The word Kshetragya refers to the living entity, the enjoyer, the chief, and material nature. Brahmate, brahmate, yade sadhu sangha paiha sabachaji tabe tinho krishnere vajaiha. The living entities are wandering in different species of life on different planets, but if by chance they get the association of a pure devotee, sadhu, they give up all other engagements and engage in the service of Lord Krishna. Satyartha kahilun sava krishnera bhajan hai Satyartha haya hai sabha udharane. I thus explain 60 different meanings, and all of them aim at the service of Lord Krishna. After giving so many examples, that is the only meaning. Eka satyartha hebe Spurila Toma Sange Tomaro Bhakti Vase Ute. Whoops. Alright. I knew that was a mistake. I touched the wrong button. So now we're in trouble. Let's see how we're going to get rid of this trouble. I think I have to stop sharing for a second and then go backwards. Yes. Because the beta base on this computer didn't work today for some reason. Okay. Tomorrow bhakti vaseyute arter tarange. Now, due to your association, another meaning has awakened. It is due to your devotional service that these waves of meaning are arising. And of course, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is referring to Sanatana Goswami, who he is instructing in Benares about Krishna consciousness, about the 61 different meanings of the Atma-Brahma verse. The word Atma refers to the living entity, from Lord Brahma down to an insignificant ant. Everyone is considered a living entity. Living entities are considered part of the Lord's marginal potency. All of them are Kshetragya, knowers of the body. When they become Niyagranta, or free saintly persons, they engage in Lord Krishna's service. That is the 61st meaning of the verse. So we got 61. Aham vedmi shukho veti vyaso veti na veti va vakcha bhagavatam grayam nabuja nacha tikya. Lord Shiva said, I may know, Shukadeva Goswami, the son of Vyasadeva, may know, and Vyasadeva may know, or he may not know, Srimad Bhagavatam. On the whole, Srimad Bhagavatam, the spotless Purana, can be learned only through devotional service, not by material intelligence, speculative methods, or imaginative commentaries. So Prabhupada explains the famous verse. Devotional service includes 9 processes, beginning with hearing, chanting, and remembering the activities of Lord Vishnu. Only one who is taken to devotional service can understand Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the spotless Purana for a transcendentalist Paramahamsa. So-called commentaries are useless for this purpose. According to Vedic injunction, Yasha Devi Para Bhaktir Yata Devi, the Thakuru, all Vedic literatures maintain that Srimad Bhagavatam has to be learned from a person Bhagavat, and to understand it, one has to engage in pure devotional service. Srimad Bhagavatam cannot be understood by so-called erudite scholars or grammarians. One who has developed pure Krishna consciousness and has served the pure devotee, the spiritual master, can understand Srimad Bhagavatam. Others cannot. So we just arrived home. So give me a second just to transfer this body to the house and unlock my seatbelt. And then we'll continue. So as we transfer ourselves, our body, and the computer. Alrighty, we are in Florida. Maybe I should continue from the backyard. Do you have any benches in the backyard? Or? I can continue from the front here. This is better. No, I just sit here. This is more convenient. Alright, so we are sitting on a rocking chair now. So, because I think we're going to finish the chapter, and then when we finish the chapter, we'll probably end class and take questions. So, let me just change the audio or volume, since we're not in the car. All right. Where's... Here we go. Okay. We are ready to roll. Hold on a second. Go back. Sorry for all these technical things, but... Oops. Where are we? Hold on a second. Let me share the screen again. Okay, here we go. Okay, so we're probably going to finish the chapter today. Artashuni sanatana vismitahana stutikare mahaprabhura chadane dariya. After hearing all the explanations of all the different meanings of the Atmanam verse, Sanatana Goswami was struck with wonder. He fell down at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and began to offer prayers. Sakshadishwara tumi prajendra nandana tomaranishvase sarvaveda pravartana. Sanatana Goswami said, "My dear Lord, you are the Supreme Personality of God, Krishna, the son of Maharaj Nanda. All the Vedic literatures are vibrated through your breathing. Tumi vakta bhagavatera Tumi jana arta toma binahanya janite nahi ka samarta. My dear Lord, you are the original speaker of the Bhagavatam. You therefore know its real import. But for you, no one can understand the confidential meaning of the Srimad Bhagavatam." Following this statement by Srila Sanatana Goswami, we have written our introduction to Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, pages 1 to 41. Prabhu kahe kene kara hamara stavana bhagavatera swarupa kene nakara vicharana. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, "Why are you glorifying me personally? You should understand the transcendental position of Srimad Bhagavatam. Why don't you consider this important point?" Krishna tulya bhagavan Vibhu sarvashraya pratishloke pratyakshare nana arta kaya. Srimad Bhagavatam is as great as Krishna, the Supreme Lord and shelter of everything. In each and every verse of Srimad Bhagavatam and each and every syllable there are various meanings. Wow. Prashnotare Bhagavate Kariyache Nirdara Yanhara Shravane Loke Lage Chamatkara.
The form of Srimad Bhagavatam is given in questions and answers. Thus, the conclusion is established by hearing these questions and answers. One is highly astonished. Bruhi Yogeshware Krishne Pramanye Dharma Varmanhi Swam Kastam Aduno Pete Dharma Kam Sharanam Gataha. Now that Sri Krishna, the Absolute Truth, the Master of all mystic powers, has departed for his own abode, please tell us by whom religious principles are presently protected. These are the questions raised by the sages. The first canto. This verse is from Srimad Bhagavatam 1.1.23. Was a question raised by all the sages who were headed by Shonaka. This question was put before the great devotee Sutta Goswami, and it's the foremost of the six questions raised. The answer to this important question is given in the next verse, also from Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3.43. Krishna Swadamo Bhagate Dharma Jnana Divisaha Kalo Nashta Drisham Mesha Puranako Duno Dittaha. After Lord Krishna departed for his abode, along with religious principles and transcendental knowledge, this Purana, Srimad Bhagavatam, has arisen like the sun in the age of Kali to enlighten those who have no spiritual vision. Wow. E mata kahiluneka shlokera vyakhyana vatulera palapakari kekari pramana. In this way, like a madman, I have explained the meaning of just one verse. I do not know who will take this as evidence. Amahina yevakeya vatulahaya Edrishte Bhagavatera Harta Chinaya. If one becomes a madman like me, he may also understand the meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam by this process. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu plainly explains that Srimad Bhagavatam cannot be understood by those who are materially situated. In other words, one has to become a madman like Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Apart from being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is an acharya who exhibited love of Godhead like a madman. According to his own written verse, Yugayitam Nimishena, he says that for him, a moment seems to last 12 years. Chakshusha Pravishayitam, like tears are flowing like torrents of rain. Shunyayitam Jagat Sarvam, I feel as if the entire universe were vacant. Why? Govinda Virahena Me, due to my being separated from Govinda Krishna. One can understand Srimad Bhagavatam only by following in the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was mad for Krishna. We cannot, of course, imitate Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is not possible. However, unless one is very serious about understanding Krishna, he cannot understand Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam gives the full narration of Krishna's transcendental activities. The first nine cantos explain who Krishna is, and the Lord's birth and activities are narrated in the tenth canto. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is stated, Janma Karma Chami Divyam, Krishna's appearance and disappearance are transcendental, not mundane. Chaktvadeham Punarjanma Naityam Eti Arjuna. Actually, that's Prabhupada quotes that later. A person is eligible to return home back to Godhead if he perfectly understands Krishna and his appearance and disappearance. This is verified by Krishna himself in the Bhagavad Gita 4.9, Chaktva Deham Purna Janma Naiti Mamiti Sojuna. It is therefore concluded that one has to learn about Krishna from Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita, and one has to follow in the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Those who do not follow Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu cannot understand the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Puna Sanatana Kahi Yuri Dwi Kare Prabhu Agya Dila Vaishnava Smriti Kari Vare. Folding his hands, Sanatana Goswami said, "My Lord, you ordered me to write a directory about the activities of Vaishnavas. Muni Nicha Jati Kichu Na Jano Nachara Mohaite Kachihaya Smriti Parachara. I am a most low-born person. I have no knowledge of good behavior. How is it possible for me to write authorized directions about Vaishnava activities. So Prabhupada explains that actually Sanatana Goswami belonged to a very respectable Brahmin family. Nonetheless, he submitted himself as a fallen, low-born person because he had served in the Muslim government. A Brahmana is never supposed to engage in anyone's service, serving others for a livelihood. Parichatmakam karma is the business of Shudras. The Brahmin is always independent and busy studying Shastra and preaching Shastra to subordinate. That's interesting, the same word. But he's not trying to subordinate anybody. To subordinate social members as Kshatriyas and Vaishyas. Sanatana Goswami felt unfit to write Vaishnava Smriti about the behavior of Vaishnavas because he had fallen from the Brahminical position. Thus, Sanatana Goswami clearly admits that the Brahminical culture should be standardized. Presently in India, so-called Brahmanas are almost all engaged in some mundane service and they do not understand the import of the Vedic Shastras. Nonetheless, they are passing themselves off as Brahmins on the basis of birth. In this connection, Sanatana Goswami declares that a Brahmana cannot be engaged in anyone's service if he wants to take a leading part in society. Wow, that's pretty heavy. In Srimad Bhagavatam, Narada Muni states that even if a Brahmana is in a difficult position, he should not accept the occupation of a Shudra. This means that he should not be engaged in the service for another, for this is the business of dogs. Oh my God. Under the circumstances, Sanatana Goswami felt very low because he had accepted a position of service in a Muslim government. The conclusion is that no one should claim to be a Brahmin simply by birthright while engaging in someone else's service. So, this brings up a question. What if a devotee is working a job? Does that automatically disqualify him or her from being a Brahmin and or taking second initiation? And the point is that if they are working for a boss, but ultimately the boss is Krishna, yes, they can be a Brahmin. That's the point. If they're working for a boss and ultimately it's for their own sense gratification, they cannot be a Brahmin. But if they're working for a boss and giving the results to Krishna and engaging their family in Krishna's service and doing their work for Krishna, they're connecting it to Krishna consciousness, then Krishna becomes the boss. And if Krishna is the boss, one can do anything for Krishna. One can clean the toilets. One can scrub the pots. One can become a gardener. And then you're still a Brahmin because Krishna is the boss. Remember that. It depends on who you consider the boss. You may have some intermediate person you're cooperating with, but the person is not ultimately the boss. You're cooperating with him or her because you're trying to please Krishna. So this is a really important fine point, because sometimes people take these different statements out of context. And I've found in certain circumstances, someone will say, I'm not going to give second initiation to someone who works a job. But the point is, if they're working a job to serve Krishna, then the person who they're working a job with in cooperation is no longer their boss, because Krishna is their boss. Very interesting point, a very subtle point, which many people, not being subtle enough, can't understand. Suchakari Dishakar Yari Karaha Upadesha Apane Karaha Yari Rudeye Parvesha. Sanatana Goswami then requested the Lord, please personally tell me how I can write this difficult book about Vaishnava behavior. Please manifest yourself in my heart. The writing of Vaishnava literature is not a function for ordinary men. Vaishnava literatures are not mental concoctions. They are all authorized literatures meant to guide those who are going to be Vaishnavas. Under these circumstances, an ordinary man cannot give his opinion. His opinion must always correspond with the conclusion of the Vedas. Unless one is fully qualified in Vaishnava behavior and authorized by superior authority, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one cannot write Vaishnava literature or purports and commentaries on Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita. So in other words, one must be an acharya. Acharya means one who acts nicely and speaks nicely and is understanding the philosophy. Tabetara dishaspure monichera hridaya ishwara tumi yekaraha sesadahaya. If you would please manifest yourself within my heart and personally direct me in writing this book, then although I am low-born, I may hope to be able to write it. You can do this because you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead yourself, and whatever you direct is perfect empowerment by the Lord. Prabhu kahi ye karite kariba tumi mana Krishna se se toma karabe spurana. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, whatever you want to do will be able to, you will be able to do correctly. By Lord Krishna's favor, he will manifest the real purport. Sanatana Goswami was a pure devotee of Krishna. A pure devotee has no business other than serving Krishna. Consequently, Krishna is always ready to help him. This benediction was given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Sanatana Goswami, who is authorized to write Vaishnava Smriti. Sanatana Goswami was a pure devotee of the Lord, and through the blessings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was able to write the book perfectly. Tatapiye sutrera shuna digdarashana sakarana likiyado guru ashrayana. Because you asked me for a synopsis, please hear these few indications. In the beginning, describe how one must take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. Ado guru ashraya. Pada ashraya. It's actually guru pada ashraya. Guru lakshana, shisha lakshana, donhara prakikshana, savior bhagavan, sarva mantra vicharana. Your book should describe the characteristics of a bona fide guru and a bona fide disciple. Then, before accepting a spiritual master, one can be assured of the spiritual master's position. Similarly, the spiritual master can also be assured of the disciple's position. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, should be described as the worshipable object, and you should describe the Bija mantra for the worship of Krishna, as well as for Ram and for other expansions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is like the Gayatri mantras. In the Padma Purana, the characteristics of the guru, the bona fide spiritual master, have been described. Wow. Mahabhagavata Shrishto Brahmano Vai Guru Nuram Sarvesham Eva Lokanam Aso Pujo Yatagarki Mahakula Pursutopi Sarvagiheshu Dikshitaha Sahasra Satya Yahi Acha Naguru Shada Vaishnavaha. The guru must be situated on the topmost platform of devotional service. There are three classes of devotees, and the guru must be accepted from the topmost class. The first class devotee is the spiritual master for all kinds of people. It is said, Guru Nrinam. The word Nrinam means all of all human beings. The guru is not limited to a particular group. It is stated in the Upadeshamrita of Rupa Goswami that a guru is a Goswami, a controller of the senses and the mind. Such a guru can accept disciples from all over the world. Pratibhim sa shishat. This is the test of the guru. Of course, the verse that Prabhupada is referring to is Vacho vegam anasa krod vegam jiva vegam udara pashta vegam. So, what does that mean? One has to be able to control the speech, Vacho vegam, the pushings of the speech, because, you know, we're pushed to talk so much nonsense. Vacho vegam. Manasa, cruel thing, the mind and the anger. Jiva vegam. Jiva means the tongue, like the eating process, and also the flapping in speech, and that's related to the vacho stuff too. Jiva vegam, udarapashta vegam. Udarapashta means the belly and the genitals. So if one can control all these six things, then Prithivimsa Shishat, he is qualified to make disciples all over the world. In India, there are so many gurus and they are limited to a certain district or province. They do not even travel about India, yet they declare themselves to be Jagat Guru, the guru of the whole world. Such cheating gurus should not be accepted. Anyone can see how the bona fide spiritual master accepts disciples from all over the world. The guru is a qualified brahmana, therefore he knows Brahman and Parabrahman. He thus devotes his life for the service of Parabrahman. The bona fide spiritual master who accepts disciples from all over the world is also worshipped all over the world because of his qualities. The people of the world worship him just as they worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All these honors are offered to him because he strictly follows the Brahminical principles and teaches them to his disciples. Such a person is called an acharya because he knows the principles of devotional service. He behaves in that way himself, and he teaches his disciples to follow in his footsteps. Thus, he is an acharya or jagat guru. Even though a person is born in a Brahminical family and is very expert in performing sacrifices, he cannot be accepted as a guru if he is not a strict Vaishnava. A guru is a brahmana by qualification, and he can turn others into brahmanas according to the shastric principles and brahminical qualifications. Brahmanism is not a question of heredity. In the Srimad Bhagavatam 7.11.35, Sri Narada Muni tells Maharaj Yudhisthira what a brahman is. He states that if brahminical qualifications are observed in kshatriyas, vaishyas, or even shudras, one should accept them as brahmanas. In this regard, Srila Siddhartha Swami has commented, Shamadibir heva brahmanadi vyavaharo mukyaha najati matra dityaha yasheti yadyadiya anyatra varnanture pridrisheta tadvarna taram tenaiva lakshana nimitenaiva varnena vinir dishet natu jati nimiten yartha. The most important criteria for deciding whether to deal with someone as a Brahmin or as a member of another Varna is the presence or absence of self-control and similar Brahminical qualities. We should not judge primarily according to superficial characteristics like birth. This is stated in the verse beginning, Yasha, Bhagavatam 7.11.35. If the qualities of one Varna are seen in someone born in another, he should be designated according to the Varna of his qualities, not that of his birth, of course. Bhagavad Gita says the same thing. Chaturvarna Mayasya Guna Karma Vibhagasya. There's a similar statement by Nilakanta, commentator on the Mahabharata. Shudra pi shamadyupeto brahmana hiva brahmano pi kamadyupeta shudra eva. Although one may be born in the Shudra family, if he is endowed with the Brahminical qualities beginning with shama, control of the mind, he is to be accepted as a Brahmin. Although one may be born in a Brahmin family, if he is endowed with the qualities beginning with kama, lust, he is considered a Shudra. No one should present himself as a Brahmin simply on the basis of being born in the Brahminical family. One must be qualified by the Brahminical qualities mentioned in the Shastras, particularly in the Bhagavad Gita. 18.42, famous verse. Shamodamas tapakshocham shandire arjamamevacha yanaviganamastikyam brahma karma svabhavajam. Peacefulness, self-control, austerity, purity, tolerance, honesty, knowledge, wisdom, and religiousness, these are the natural qualities by which the brahmanas work. Unless one is qualified with all these attributes, he cannot be accepted as a brahmana. It is not a question of simply taking birth in a brahmana family. In this regard, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur remarks that Narottama Das Thakur and Shyamananda Goswami, although not born in Brahmin families, are accepted as bona fide spiritual masters because they were brahmanas by qualification. Personalities like Sri Ganga Narayana, Ramakrishna, and many others who were actually born in Brahmin families accepted Narottama Das Thakur and Shyamananda Goswami as their spiritual masters. The Mahabhagwat is one who decorates his body with tilak and whose name indicates him to be a servant of Krishna by the word dasa. He is also initiated by a bona fide spiritual master and is expert in worshipping the deity, chanting mantras correctly, performing sacrifices, offering prayers to the Lord, and performing sankirtan. He knows how to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead and how to respect Vaishnava. When one has attained the topmost position of Mahabhagavat, he is to be accepted as a guru and worshipped exactly like Hari, the Personality of Godhead. Only such a person is eligible to occupy the post of guru. However, if one is highly qualified but is not a Vaishnava, he cannot be accepted as a guru. One cannot be a Brahmin unless one is a Vaishnava. Very interesting. If one is a Vaishnava, he is already a Brahmin. If a guru is completely qualified as a Vaishnava, he must be accepted as a Brahmin, even if he is not born in a Brahmin family. The caste system method of distinguishing a Brahmin by birth is not acceptable when applied to a bona fide spiritual master. A spiritual master is a qualified Brahmana and Acharya. If one is not a qualified Brahmin, he is not expert in studying the Vedic literatures. Nana Shastra Vichara Naikanipa know. Every Brahmana is a spiritual master, every Vaishnava, sorry, is a spiritual master, and a spiritual master is automatically expert in Brahminical behavior. He also understands the Vedic Shastras. Similarly, a disciple's qualifications must be observed by the spiritual master before he is accepted as a disciple. In our Krishna conscious movement, the requirement is that one must be prepared to give up the four pillars of sinful life: illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling. In Western countries especially, we first observe whether a potential disciple is prepared to follow the regulated principles. Then he is given the name of a Vaishnava servant and initiated to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra at least 16 rounds daily. In this way, the disciple renders devotional service under the guidance of a spiritual master or his representative for at least 6 months or to a year. He is then recommended for a second initiation, during which a sacred thread is offered and the disciple is accepted as a bona fide brahmana. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur introduced the system of giving the sacred thread to a bona fide Vaishnava, and we are following in his footsteps. The qualifications of a bona fide disciple are described in Srimad Bhagavatam 11:10:6 as follows: Amanya Matsuro Daksho Niramodrida Sauridaha Asatvarta Gigyasur Anasur Momogavak. The disciple must have the following qualifications. He must give up interest in the material bodily conception. Wish all my disciples would do that. He must give up material lust, anger, greed, illusion, madness, envy. I wish that too. He should be interested only in understanding the science of God, and he should be ready to consider all points in this matter. He should no longer think, I'm this body or this thing belongs to me. One must love the spiritual master with unflinching faith, and one must be very steady and fixed. The bona fide disciple should be inquisitive to understand transcendental subject matter. He must not search out faults among good qualities, and he should no longer be interested in material topics. His only interest should be Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As far as the mutual testing of the spiritual master and disciple is concerned, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that a bona fide disciple must be very inquisitive to understand the transcendental subject matter, as stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 11.3.21, Tasmad Guru Prapadjeta Gigyakshat Jigyasu Shreya Uttama. One who is inquisitive to understand the highest goal and benefit of life must approach a bona fide spiritual master and surrender unto him. A serious disciple must be alert when selecting a bona fide spiritual master. He must be sure the spiritual master can deliver all the transcendental necessities. The spiritual master must observe how inquisitive the disciple is and how eager he is to understand the transcendental subject matter. The spiritual master should study the disciple's inquisitiveness for no less than 6 months or a year. A spiritual master should not be very anxious to accept a disciple because of his material opulences. Sometimes a big businessman or landlord may approach a spiritual master for initiation. Those who are materially interested are called vishayis, karmis, which indicates they are very fond of sense gratification. Such vishayas sometimes approach a famous guru and asked to become a disciple as a matter of fashion. No one's approached me. Some Vishaya supposed disciples of a reputed spiritual master just to cover their activities and advertise themselves in advance in spiritual knowledge. In other words, they want to attain material success. A spiritual master must be very careful in this regard. Such business is going on all over the world. The spiritual master does not accept a materially opulent disciple just to advertise the fact that he has such a big disciple. He knows that by associating with such Vishaya disciples, he may fall down. One who accepts a Vishaya disciple is not a bona fide spiritual master. Even if he is, his position may be damaged but due to the association with an unscrupulous Vishaya, that means sense gratifier. If a so-called spiritual master accepts a disciple for his personal benefit or for material gain, the relationship between the spiritual master and the disciple turns into material affairs, and the spiritual master becomes like a smarta guru. There are many caste Goswamis who professionally create some disciples who do not care for them or their instructions. Such spiritual masters are satisfied simply to get some material benefits from their disciples. Such a relationship is condemned by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who calls such spiritual masters and disciples a society of cheaters and cheated. They are also called bowlers or prakriti sahajas. Their aim is to make the connection between the spiritual master and disciple into a very cheap thing. They are not serious in wanting to understand spiritual life. The words Savior Bhagavan in this verse of the Chaitanya Charitamrita are important. Bhagavan indicates the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu. Lord Vishnu alone is worshipable. There's no need to worship demigods. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 7:20. Karmaistaistai Rutagyana Prabhajantanya Devata Tam Tam Niyantam Niyamamashaya Prakata Niyatasvaya. Those whose intelligence has been stolen by material desires surrender to demigods and follow the particular rules and regulations of worship according to their own natures. It is also stated in the Skanda Purana, I don't know if we're going to finish this purport, Vasudevam Purichaja no Yonya Devam Upasate Swamataram Purichaja Swapachim Vandate Hisa. A person who worships the demigods and gives up Lord Vasudev is like a man who gives up the protection of his mother for the shelter of a witch. Woo! That is heavy. Let's see if we're going to finish the purport today. No, we won't. Or maybe we will. Oh my God. It is also stated by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. Let's just leave it at the witch thing. And we'll continue tomorrow on this purport. So we'll just take some questions from you. Actually, tomorrow we're going to have this disappearance day. We'll continue the next day after that. So, leave in the middle of the purport. Stop sharing. We'll take a few questions. And we're sitting out here in the sunshine, or disappearing sunshine. So let's hold on a second. Let me move that. Let me unmute you. Okay. Who amongst you has a question? Whoops. Something happened here. Whoops. It's loading Zoom apps. I don't know how that happened. Let me go back to the chat window. What is the difference between the tongue and the belly? Well, there's a difference between stomach, you know, hunger. Some people eat to satisfy the tongue. Some people hate to eat to satisfy the belly. And some people eat to satisfy both of them. So that's the difference. The tongue, you know, sometimes you eat when you're not hungry because you like to titillate the tongue. And sometimes you eat and you just fill the belly up to more than is supposed to be filled up, to satisfy the belly. They're actually two different things. And actually, it's described in the Nectar of Instruction there in a straight line, the tongue, belly, and genitals. So when one tries to satisfy the tongue, and you eat too much, and the belly expands, and then one gets agitated in that particular way. Hello, Guru Dave. Hey, Tori, it's good to hear. See you, Tori. Wow. That's Victoria for short. Vittori for short, for Victoria. Hello, Gurudev. I was wondering how one can be a guru to the whole world when different places have such different cultures. How does a guru navigate these differences? That's actually a very good question. Well, the guru has to present Krishna consciousness according to the different cultures. Sometimes you have to adjust the style of dress. Sometimes you have to adjust the style of music. You don't adjust the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. You don't adjust the Bhagavatam. So you have to understand the difference between what's called principles and details. Details are the way that you present the principles. And principles are just like inviolable. You're not supposed to violate them under any circumstance. Like we have, you know, chanting Hare Krishna is a principle, and obviously not taking intoxication is a principle, reading the Srimad Bhagavatam is a principle, associating with the devotees, associating with the accepting the spiritual master and taking initiation from the spiritual master, Sankirtan is a principle. But exactly how you do these things can differ according to time, place, and circumstance. For example, in China, where we have a lot of devotees and the culture is completely different than the West, the devotees eat with chopsticks. And they use Chinese instruments when they have kirtan. So, yes, it's adjustable. So the guru has to be very expert. Actually, Prabhupada said one of the aspects or the important qualities, let me just look at my internet thing. Well, still have plenty of internet. One of the most important qualities of the guru is he has to be expert in adjusting things according to time, place, and circumstance, and also engaging the disciple according to a disciple's psychophysical nature. That's a good question, Tori. Okay. So, who else has a question here? You can type in your question, or you can unmute yourself, if you are bold enough to unmute yourself and talk.
Gurudev, please accept my humble obeisances.
Okay. So, you have a question, Rakesh?
Yes, Guru Maharaj. My question is, like, when we are chanting, the mind goes many places, and especially to the anger less supposed to some people. And you're doing it chanting for, let's say, 1 year and really, really early in the morning, like in the Mangala Arati after that. How long does it take mind to become, like, get the peace? Like, you know, how long will it...
Well, you have to control the mind. Another thing Prabhupada said while we're chanting, it's a process of purification. So it's just like when you're sweeping the room, the dust starts flying, at least if it's a very dirty room. And it's understood that our hearts are quite contaminated at the present time. So the dust starts flying. So that's an indication that you're starting to clean. And so more dust is in the air at that particular point. Another example Prabhupada gave was the process of making ghee. Ghee, of course, is clarified butter. When you make ghee, you heat the butter, and guess what? The impurities rise to the surface. And so you become more aware of the impurities. If you just look at it, melted butter, you don't see too many impurities. But if you're making ghee and you heat the butter, the impurities rise to the surface. When you sweep, the dust starts flying, if it's a quite dirty room, and most of our rooms, our hearts are actually dirty, the dust starts flying, you become more... Another reason is you become more aware of the impurities, because when you're cleansing the heart, you actually become more aware of the dirt in it. I mean, if you're in the mode of ignorance, you won't be aware of the dirt. You just think, I got a clean heart. I mean, many times I talk to people of different religious persuasions, and they say, I love God. I've got a clean heart. I have no lust. And I'm just like, oh my God. Aren't these people aware of who they are? You know, just looking in their eyes like lust bags. So, anyway. So that's why we become more aware and the dust starts flying. And then we got to work at it. Not that we just say, you know, Krishna, just take care of my lust. You got to tolerate. That's what that verse states in the Upadeshamrita. Vacho vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jiva vegam, udara pashta vegam. That for one to be a bona fide devotee or a spiritual master, one has to be able to tolerate the pushings of these different things, the tongue, belly, genitals, mind, anger, and words. And so we are going to end now, since I'm outside and it's starting to get cold outside. We are in a very beautiful area. We will show you where we are. Hold on. Just 1 second. Well, that's the Tesla. It's not mine, it's someone else's. And very beautiful. This is in Florida. We're doing some preaching in Florida. And so we're sitting out here enjoying the fresh air and sunshine. Okay. That's not my car, don't worry. Okay, we'll see everybody. We'll see everybody tomorrow, same time, same station, for a special program. We left in the middle of the purport. Okay, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.